Well,
Love
awesome.
Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I am your host, Calvin Ward, and I will be bringing you some of the best spiritually motivated discussions, interviews, and debates that you have ever heard. So what I want you to do right now is sit back, tune in, invite a friend. And remember, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Thanks for listening.
Well, amen. Well, we're going to get this word, and Yvette, I don't know what happened. So I said, this is part two, and then I just got a message from Blog Talk saying they had an issue and there was something with it. Whatever the case, we're going to see how this posts up, but this will be part two. So I just make this part two. So you were talking a little bit. I'm going to give you the microphone. You were talking a little bit. I know we asked about, you know, you told us your background and a little bit about you. And you were just talking in general about the body of Christ. And I know you hit on the spirit of error, and then you that it led you into some other subjects. So you have the microphone. Talk to us a bit.
Okay. Well, I cannot remember where I was. You know, when you're flowing, you're just flowing. But anyway.
Right, we need you to flow again.
Okay.
Well, I think, well, hold up. Let's see if we can remember that, though. I think you were, because you were talking about the spirit of error, and you know, you went to the scriptures, talk about many voices and a lot of different, you know, people. And I think we talked a little bit about doctrine, but you're right. You were on a roll. So, yeah.
Right. So basically waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to speak and not releasing anything prophetically, so, or even putting God's name on it, unless we know for sure it is of His word. Really foundational in His word, and then also because all the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So in other words, Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 is the spirit of prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus. So if we're not testifying of Christ, lifting Him up, as scripture says, He says, if you believe in me as scripture says, not as Calvin says, not as
right.
Yvette says, not as the
right.
world says, because we are not of this world. We are of a kingdom that is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And so, as the scripture said, then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what I was saying is that God is cleansing the flow of the prophetic. And it's important for us to understand that our flow does not rest in four-walled houses. It does not rest in the building itself. It does not rest in events and programs and initiatives and denominations. It rests solely in the spirit of the living God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the word of God.
Right.
If we get
right.
away from the word of God, because we're trying, yeah, we want to know. We're creative creatures. God has made us to be that way. We have our own wheels, but, you know, once we do a lot of research, we have our own intellect and our own conclusions and
right.
Information
right.
that we've gathered over the years. But if it does not align with the word of God, it is of the flesh, according to scripture, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. It is not of the spirit of God. So we have to really begin to look at measuring what is it we're hearing. Is it of the word or is it of error? And I also mentioned that a lot of us have fallen in error at some point or the other, whether we knew it or we didn't know it.
Right.
But the heart of the believer is to, scripture says, a just man falls seven times.
Right,
they
right.
get up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They get
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to recognize that spirit of error, even if we have fallen within it, and ask Jesus Christ
right,
to heal
right.
us, deliver us, and show us the spirit of truth, and be willing to sit in intercession till we hear God clearly.
So that being said, let me ask you about trauma. So what is it about trauma? What is it about trauma that you're not, I don't want to say connected to, but as to why trauma is an important subject or topic for you concerning the body of Christ. What is it about trauma in the body? I know you mentioned a little bit that, you know, you feel some people don't think that Christians go through trauma. You know, some people just think, you know, I got the Holy Ghost and we're just going to spread it on top of everything and everything's going to be all right. So what was it about trauma that you think that makes that an important topic for you to expose or to speak on or to expound on? And what about it do you think people need to know? So I'm going to give you the floor on that as well, because you're absolutely right. We go through trauma. I think that's one of the things when we're counseling Christians, some people have been, you know, they've been traumatized because they've been programmed to believe that they're not going to go through any trouble, you know, and then when trauma hits or something hits their life, you know, they just go on in a downward spiral. So what is it about trauma for you?
Right. Well, and I know believers who still teach this. Believers who teach that if you're saved and you're in the perfect will of God, you're not going to hear your name in the streets. Nobody's going to wrongfully accuse you, persecute you. Nobody's going to reject you. So if we're hearing things about you, there's something wrong. You must be evil. You must be practicing witchcraft or something, you know. So, and I've been called a witch. But, you know, there are things in the body of Christ that should not be named amongst us. And trauma can present itself in so many different ways. For Jesus, it was a beating and the cross. It was going through the Sanhedrin, the Pharisee spirits, the Sadducee spirits, and being called Beelzebub. And, and so we tend to forget what Christ went through. Then on the other side of that, even the apostles suffered. They lost their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were many lies being told on them. And so to some people can handle verbal abuse differently. Like some people, it just washes off of their back, like water off of a duck's back, right? But to others, it's traumatic. Because for others, and I've been there where I just wanted to be accepted because of my childhood, and I found out about a couple of years ago that, and this is what the Holy Spirit will reveal, the Holy Spirit first talks to you about you. So we as prophets, we really need to understand this, is that the first message is to us. So any message that we're receiving prophetically, we should be the first recipients of. We be the first ones to obey it. So several years ago, the Lord began to deal with me about tolerating verbal abuse. He said, because of your childhood, what you did in your adulthood, when you started experiencing situations and circumstances, you reverted back to your childhood coping mechanisms, and you didn't even know it. Like, you retreated, and my prophetic voice has not flowed freely through you for several years. And I was hurt, Prophet Calvin. I was like, my God, what do you mean it hasn't flowed freely through me? He said, because you have backed up, you have gotten into your Elijah cave, and I need you to come out Elijah cave.
You know what, right there? You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you get in it. That reminded me of a message by Cheryl Brady, Pastor Cheryl Brady. She said this years ago, but it was a message that she did called Caves Are for Cowards. And she said that message, it was a similar, and that was a powerful message. She said that was, and in that message, if you can see it on the internet, it's a very powerful message. And she talked about how, you know, she was in a similar situation. But anyway, that's what that reminded me of when you said that, because you said, come out that cave. And it was like, wow. But that is so powerful, so true. But continue on.
And he named it. He called it an Elijah cave. He called it an Elijah cave. He said, it is your self-made Elijah cave. I didn't give this cave to you. You retreated on your own because you're dealing with childhood coping mechanisms. He said, I need you to understand that you are an adult now, and you're dealing with some real adult issues, some traumatic issues. And not everybody is going to receive you, right? Not everybody is going to be blessed by your ministry. Not everybody is going to understand the call that I placed upon your life. And some folks will persecute you because of the call I have upon your life. He began to tell me, I have given you a national call, and you're trying to be local. So as long as you want to be local, then you're going to have to deal with local-minded folks. And so, and that's not bad, because listen,
that's good though.
What we have forgot in the body of Christ is that there are multitudes and differences of gifting. There are local prophets. There are regional prophets. There are national diversities of gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Diversities of gifts. And we have forgotten that, and that's why we're persecuting one another. Mm-hmm. Get out of, you know, we're not honoring each other's lane. And so trauma in the church, I've been a part of it. I may have caused it to some folks and have had to repent and wash my hands of it. I've been a recipient of it. So trauma is in many different forms. It can be verbal abuse, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, folks praying against you, folks standing and prophesying against you or cursing you, and they're thinking they're doing the will of God.
Right.
And you're going to have to love them in spite of. God told me, he said, love your enemies and do good to those who despitefully use you.
Mm-hmm.
Do good to those who curse you. Scripture tells us that there is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper, and every tongue that rise against us in judgment, we shall condemn it. And what does that mean? It means that this is the heritage of the righteous. That's what the scripture tells us.
Right.
Our heritage is to condemn every spoken word that has been given in misunderstanding. Some folks don't mean it. They just misunderstand you. They misunderstand your heart. They don't take the time to get close enough to understand or to help you out of error. We talked about error earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take the time. And so trauma comes in the form of verbal abuse, physical abuse. It comes in the form of sickness, disease, financial disparity, mental health issues. Trauma is, it means so much to so many people, and so many experience it different and handle it differently. But I really do believe in the body of Christ, we need to stop running from it. Stop just trying to pray it out. And yes, God hears our prayers. And yes, God answers prayers. But also, we are told in Scripture that faith without works is dead.
But
there's
something
that we're going to have to do as believers to take courage, to have compassion, to help, and to get through trauma whenever it does occur.
So let's now speak to some people who just may be, now let's just be real with this one. You got some trifling people out there, and I've seen people in ministry, and they are just trifling. So when certain things happen to them, the first thing they want to claim is what you're talking about now, church trauma. They want to claim that, you know, something happened, or, you know, I've ran into people, and they think that all of their wrong is right, and they can do no wrong. They just think all of their wrong is right, and they are just right all the time. So, in some of the examples that you gave, can you give us some sharp examples? Because talking about church trauma, I know exactly what you mean. I've been, you've been in the body for a while. You've been through it. But I think it's a powerful statement that you made as well, too, that we need to learn to go through this. Because if we are a church family, you're a family and a unit. Or with the body of Christ, we're a family and a unit. You know, how can we, like, I was in the Army 20 years. I dealt with people in the Army that were trifling for 20 years, but I didn't just pop out and I didn't just leave, or I didn't just drop people off. You got through it. So what are some examples? You know what I'm saying? You get this family, right? You know, you work through it. And you make the decision to say, you know what? No, in certain environments, I used to tell people at the Army, look, y'all, I said, dude, look, I can't, you're getting on my nerves right now, but look, we can work together, because there are other stakeholders in this. I see y'all more than I see my family. I see y'all and work more than I go home sometimes. So I'm like, this is where we are. We need to work it out. But how much more so in the household of God? I think that rings so true. To work with people, I think that's going back to love too, right? When you really say you love people, then you will work through anything with them, and you'll say, you know what? No, you know what? I know we don't have an argument, we don't do whatever, you know what? But let's work through this, because you have Christ in you, I have Christ in me, and if we can't get an answer out of this, if we can't work through this, then something's wrong. We should be able to. So, what is an example of? Oh, go ahead.
Well, probably, going back to scripture, because, we gotta get back to the foundational truths of the gospel, and we have left them into our own opinions and into our own ways of doing things in our human flesh. So scripture gives us the answers. It says, sit with one another, reason with one another, come together, and if your brother or sister won't hear you, you go get a witness. And if the witness, they won't come with the witness, and you tell it publicly. But the whole purpose is to heal relationship, heal fellowship. Scripture also tells us when we sit one with another, that we heal each other. Those are healing conversations. And if we're not able to have those conversations, then things that should have been dealt with in its infancy, they begin to fester and begin to rotten. And so it will rotten whole houses of worship. It will cause separations, devouring, backbiting. It will cause gossip, bitterness, hatred, strife, competition, jealousy. All these things are caused just because we don't take time out, even in families.
Yes.
Just to talk, just to have the conversation. And mind you, some of these conversations are bold. We have to be bold enough. But we also need the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not kick the Pharisees and Sadducees out of his fellowship or out of his environment, or he didn't say, I don't want to talk to you. He knew what they were going to do. He knew what they were up to. He knew their heart, but he kept engaging them all the way to the end. Even when he had to call them serpents and things, he still gave them the gospel. He still gave them a unique opportunity to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take Judas, for example. Scripture tells us in Matthew, matter of fact, it's Peter, that when they're getting ready to add the 12th apostle, because Judas had committed suicide after he gave over Jesus, Peter begins to tell us Judas was with us. Judas was with the 12. Jesus didn't kick him out. Judas did that on his own, but he was a part of that 12. Jesus picked him.
Right.
Who are
now,
we
see, now, hold
out of
now, 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 that's a whole nother conversation. First of all, I will say this. You're welcome anytime on the show. Trying to get some regulars here because people need word from sound. They need a sound word. So I'm hopeful that you'll be one of the elders, one of the individuals we have on the show. But you said something that's so powerful. He was picked by Jesus. Jesus did not throw him away. And we can prove that with scripture, because you can't, those that he chose, you can't take them out of his hand. You can't snatch them away from him. But I think that is so key. That is just so key, because we bring people to the church, and I don't care what. See, I'm a little old school. I don't know. I don't care what. I done been through hell and hot water. I done had people who love me through hell. So I don't understand the mentality. I don't care what somebody going through.
This
I'm going to love
new
you.
Religion?
I'm going to pray you through.
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know about this new religion. I don't know about this new atmosphere. Actually, let me back up. I do know, because scripture does tell us that in the last days that men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of Christ. The way of Christ, the ways of Christ, the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ for his people. And it also, begins to tell us that the offense would be great in the land. So it's an offense. Folks are so offended by the littlest things that
you
occur.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah. And I do want to go back and say there is a scripture in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, that tells us the winnowing fork is in the hand of Jesus Christ. It's in the hand of God. And he is clearly cleansing and clearing his threshing floor. We can see that happening right now. Because true intercession on the threshing floor is really entering in to someone, entering in to someone's situation, someone's circumstance, and walking that thing out with them, not only in prayer, but also, look, what do you need? You need a resource?
You
let
know what?
You,
you listen, listen.
You
listen, and you know what? I don't understand. One of the things I was telling some people is, how can you, like, even right now, Yvette, we got people, you know, I kept telling people about this tithing and giving and things, but you know what? God has a way. Now it's shut down where churches cannot rely on the tithe. They have to rely on God. You have to rely on offering. What happened to helping people? I mean, I've had church mothers come up to me. I remember we call it the Christian handshake. I've shaken people's hands and put hundreds in their hands. Nobody even knew. You know, helping people. And how can you be shepherds? You know, I used to ask the thing about shepherds. We're doing shepherding right now. And I'm like, during the time, this is the time where shepherds should be like, look, call in their people. What do you need? How are you? I can pray for you over the phone.
I can send an elder
to your house. Look, getting an assessment. How's everybody that's in the house? You know,
you've
given to the church so many years. You've been a faithful member. How can we help you now? It seems like this is the time where the church could really be Christ and really walk through that. And I don't know how much of that is really, really going on. I've heard a couple of stories, but I've seen on the internet people, they get on the internet now and they got Cash App there. Give us money for Cash App. They preach, they put their Cash App up, Venmo or PayPal or whatever. So now people are preaching online and saying you can give to us, you know, through this app or through that app, which is all fine and dandy. But there should be a level of shepherding. And I think, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, for me, I was doing this show. I think this is a time where the prophets, like, I think you mentioned something. Let me back up. Remember when the children of Israel were in Babylon in exile, and the scriptures mention that they hung their harps on a willow, and it was given an allusion with an A to the fact that they had no song to sing. How could they sing in a land when they were captive, right? And they had nothing to sing. But that is a time when the prophets and the teachers, they teach people the word of God. They didn't, you know, they didn't pray and ask God for all these miracles and do this and do this. The teachers knew they had to give people the word, because if they're going to get out of this, God can do three miracles. But if they're still in exile, they're going to still be jacked up mentally. They needed that word to help them get through situations.
Yeah. Right. And so, listen, prophetically, just releasing this has been amazing, right? Because we are interceding for folks and walking through with people. I can't tell you how many people have called me I haven't heard from in years, who just need somebody that they feel can walk through with prayer, and then if they need anything, that somebody has resources. And then on the other end of that prayer, nobody's going to go out and tell their story, right? They're going to tell their story for God's glory themselves. There's somebody that they can trust. And the Holy Spirit was given, and we're coming upon Pentecost. I mentioned that earlier. And it's unique how God has divinely aligned Passover and divinely aligned Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And now we're preparing for Pentecost, the outpour, even more outpour of his Spirit. And if you're prophetic and you've been teaching those scriptures throughout the years, you can prophetically identify the prophetic road signs. But when we come from in the middle of this, even in the middle of it, we must disciple souls. We must shepherd souls, whether you have the title of pastor or not. There is a spirit of pastoring. There is a function of the pastor, not just the title of being placed in a position. Yes, we have head pastors, we have co-pastors, we have folks that we do look up to and we do honor that God has placed there. But there is a spirit, just like there's a spirit of prophecy, there's a spirit of pastoralship. So we must help and shepherd God's people. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this is after the Holy Ghost has come upon those who were in the upper room, 120,
yes, yes.
a little over 120.
Mm-hmm.
Peter stands up with boldness and begins to testify of David and the sepulcher and different fruits of the Spirit and why this is not what you think. I know you're mocking us, but the wonderful signs and works of God you hear through tongues, they are real. This is the risen Messiah. This is he who you
yes.
killed, and he is risen. And this is he who has given us this power, and we've received, and you can receive it too. And the 3,000 received. But after all of those marvelous works and that really public show of who God is so that the hearts of the people could come to Jesus Christ and receive him as their Lord and Savior, they began to continue in community. And on the other side of this, believers who have been wanting to disconnect from local bodies because they don't feel a sense of community, because they don't feel like they've been discipled, that they've been sold into, that they've been a part of the community, they're going to begin to look for what Scripture says a community should be. And so the shifting is not just individually, it's for us as a community of believers. Verse 42 in Acts chapter 2 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's all they were teaching. And fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon all of them. Signs and wonders were done. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions, not you know, to be without, but that all who were in need had. So right now, we have many who are in need. And, you know, I don't fault those who are asking for donations in Cash App. We're doing
right.
it. But 100% of what you give, we have four new nonprofits we partnered with just today. Folks who are helping families who are incarcerated, who have loved ones who are incarcerated, the immigrant refugee population, the Native American population, you know, folks who are in need. We are partnering with them, and 100% of what folks are giving right now is going to those ministries. These are proven ministries. Ministries who are faith-based as well, right? But God's people need our help. And for us to just hide away, like I said, in our Elijah caves would be just to ignore
right.
it, tolerate it. There's real trauma going on in the world today. And
the
it's
church
time
is right
for us,
here in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. Let me ask you, what do you think about ministers being – I was having a conversation with someone. What do you think about ministers being a critical job? We were having this conversation about whether ministers should be a critical job. And when I talk about critical job, not that we need to, you know, be out there, but I'm talking about still ministering to the people, even though no matter what's going on, having someone there who represents, you know, the ministry, the church, who can represent that Christian presence or the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit, having somebody that's anointed, representing the hand of Christ in the earth realm. I mean, what do you think about that? I was having a conversation with someone because I think that I know in times that I've went out to homeless shelters and I've went to the hospital to pray for people. I mean, if I know somebody right now, that this may not be everybody, and I get it, and I don't expect everybody to be that way. But as a minister, like if I knew somebody that was in intensive care that was going through or might be dying from this disease, I'm suiting up. I'll put my mask on, put my stuff on, and guess what? I'm coming down there to visit you because we're going to pray for you or just be there. But what do you
if
think
they
about
let
that
you
in
certain, right?
I know, right?
You know, prophet, it doesn't matter what I think. Go back to Bible. In Scripture, all in the Old Testament, New Testament, God always assigned a prophet. He always assigned a voice, an oracle for him in government, right? In government, in marketplace ministry, somebody who was willing to stand and speak the truth of God concerning his people and concerning God's ways. And he's always told us that we need to position ourselves, posture ourselves. There's in the Old Testament, there's what we call gatekeepers and watchmen on the wall. And are we in position? Are we kingdom postured to be the voice of Jesus Christ in the earth realm? Or have we become, I was sleeping one day about a month ago before all this really got kicked in on its height, and Jesus reminded me of the scripture, if you are ashamed to own me before men, I will not own you before my Father. That hurt me to the core. I got up and fell on the floor in prayer. God, please help us not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. It's not whether or not God wants to posture us. We're already postured. We're postured in the schools. We're postured in medical institutions. We're postured in financial institutions. We're postured at the gateways of our cities, in refugee type programs. We're postured everywhere in politics. We're postured. And so, but are we ashamed to speak of Jesus Christ? That's the real question. He postured us already. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so being bold enough to share the testimony of Jesus Christ is really important, not only for our now, because our now is temporal, but for our eternity purposes. He would be ashamed to own us. We got to stand in front of God one day in judgment. And this is what God is doing, cleansing the prophetic, cleansing the apostolic, cleansing the teacher, evangelistic, the pastors, and saying, don't be ashamed. Open your mouth. Be bold. Take some tenacity and be bold. Take courage. That's one thing that God told me several months ago when I was diagnosed with breast cancer about September of 2019. He said, I walked through the house and I said, God, what is this? What is this? You know, because I know that I have a heart for you. You know, Job. I know I have a heart for you. I know I'm living for you. You know, all of this. And he said, take courage. He said, take courage. In trauma, we have to take courage. Because we don't know. A lot of people hear the word cancer and they think death. Immediately go there. I went there. I didn't think I was going to make it into 2020. And so trauma hits, like I said earlier, in so many different ways. Take courage, you know. And in the church, we must teach people how to take courage in Jesus Christ and know your flesh might be
sick. Many
different parts of us, right?
Yes.
But in your spirit, man, know for a fact and trust God. In your spirit, man, let your spirit, man, be strong and strengthened so that it can override what you're feeling in your flesh. So that
that is so powerful.
What God would have you to speak to your situation. You might be fearful in the moment, and I want to speak to someone who might be listening or might listen on the replay.
Mm-hmm.
It might be fearful to you, your situation right now, the diagnosis, what people might be saying, what the economic situation might be, what you might be feeling. You might even be feeling alone. You might feel traumatized in your head, in your mind. But take courage through Jesus Christ. Feel what you're feeling. That's one thing I learned. You got to feel it. Take a moment to feel it. The Bible tells us that we're to be angry but sin not. I was angry. I didn't understand.
Yes.
God, why did you let this come? Come on. Why did you let this come upon me? The evangelist, the one that you're using all over the world. Why? Why me? And then he began to say, Yvette, take courage. This sickness is not unto death. I'm using this for my glory. For your glory, Lord. Can you use this? Can you use something else? I mean, I could give you the glory without this. I begin to tell him I can do that. He said, but there's some places in your heart that you haven't discovered yet, that there's some stuff in there I need to heal. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. I want the listeners to know that today. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord
right.
and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
But this light affliction is only temporal. It is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed through you.
I feel it,
deal with it in its infancy. Go ahead, cry, scream. There were a couple of nights I screamed to the top of my voice, and my husband came run into the stairs. What's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong? Honey, nothing. I just got to get it out. I just, you know, I'm just mad. I'm upset. I don't understand it.
Can we talk about that, though? So you mean Christian? So can you just please emphasize or just expound on that? Because I've had moments, and, you know, sometimes when you tell people and they're going through something and you tell them, you know, no, you need to take time and experience what you're going through. If you need to, I'm talking about it like I'm going to take my 15 minutes. And people look at me like they think that's so carnal. I said, you know what? I'm angry right now. And I said, you know what? Y'all going to have to give me 20 minutes so that I can be in this moment before I come back, because I'm not going to be focused. I'm not going to think right. My decisions are not going to be based off of the word or coming from the right spirit. Let me go over here and be here. Goes, can I be human for 5 minutes? Because a lot of the times, and especially when you're in ministry, people put you on this pedestal, and then they put you up here, and like nothing can happen to you. If you're going through this, you did God wrong. Well, what if we thought you was living right? Or all of these things that you mentioned earlier that people will say. But what is the power of experiencing and taking time? What you know, to the individual that may be like, you know what, I wasn't told that. I was told to just suppress everything and just speak faith and you know, and just accept it. But what is the power of feeling your emotions? Of feeling and being in getting that out, experiencing or being okay to be human? Like what would happen?
Because we are human, number one. We forget that. We're in flesh. We're in this human body. So we're going to experience things in our emotional realm. We have we're triune beings. We're body, soul, and spirit. And oftentimes, because we want to hang out in the spirit, we forget about the soul and the body.
Hmm.
We're triune beings. It's a balance to this thing. And I'm not saying, you know, have your emotion and sit in it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying have the emotion, release it. Release it, be healed from it, and let's move on. Because guess what? There's another situation up the road. As long as we're human, life happens. Life will happen. And as we were saying earlier, you know, I've heard so many folks who Christians don't experience sickness. And if you experience a sickness, you must have sinned. Well, that sounds like the Pharisees in the Bible, don't it? Who is sinning? This man, his mama, his daddy, who sinned? Jesus said none of them have sinned, the blind man. None of them sinned. This has happened so that the glory of God can be revealed. And that's what God was telling me. This is not unto death. People of God, your sicknesses are not always unto a physical death, okay? Some are so that God can get the glory. And I think sometimes we often forget, too, that sometimes healing does mean going to see our Savior, moving from this life on into eternity. And that doesn't mean God didn't heal them in their body. It just means he healed their spirit so they can go on to eternity, no more crying there, no more dying there. You know, we're going on to heaven, and we're too temporal-minded, by the way. We're not wearing this world as a loose garbage. That's what the elders used to tell us, is you need to learn to wear this world as a loose garment because it's not our home. We're supposed to be focused on eternity. On our Savior.
See you
and,
in the world.
So, there are those in the body of Christ. I remember in the diagnosis, I began to pray and say, God, this is not my portion. God gave me this that anthems years ago. These are not our portion. In other words, I'm not living with this. I might be experiencing it right now, but I shall be healed from this in this life or the next. Because for me, like Peter, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I begin to prepare my soul for eternity. When you hit with trauma, when you're hit with your mortality, just like now, we don't know what's going on around us. We don't know who's going to contract what. Saints are leaving here. This ain't just a worldly thing where only those who don't believe in Jesus are contracting it. People are contracting. It doesn't matter what state, believer and non-believer in Jesus Christ alike. We are faced with our mortality. We're moving from here to immortality. And so it behooves us to understand that when we're faced with trauma, not to be judgmental of each other. Don't try to put a label on people like, oh, she must have sinned, or they must be evil, or something must be wrong. No, it could just be because I didn't eat right. It just could be because I have a genetic strand. It could just be that it was
God want to get the glory.
The enemy, and God wants to get the glory. Either way, whatever reason, I didn't exercise right. I didn't study it right. Like Prophet Calvin, I was always studying. I'm biracial, and I was raised with the African American side of my family. And African American side of my family was always dealing with diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, all those kind of things. I wasn't thinking about cancer. Cancer was on my mama's side. I didn't even study it. I thought I was far removed from it. That was my error. That had nothing to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ. That was my human error. I should have studied it. I should have, and this is a whole nother show, by the way. And you and I have talked about how we eat, what do we put in our temple, how we think, even mental stuff, right? Stress.
Right.
Stress enzymes trigger sickness and disease in our body. It could just be that.
Yes.
We need to learn to stop labeling folks. Have some compassion. Jesus Christ, when he walked into a crowd and he felt all the sin and all the sickness and affliction, he was moved with compassion. He would call a woman with multiple husbands at a well into repentance to worship him. He would call sinners to repentance. The lepers were healed. The blind was healed. Dead people were raised from the dead. He never said, do you love me, before he healed them. He never asked
evil.
He didn't announce their sin. He said, he that is without sin, let them cast the first stone. Let them. So it's like this. We've got to learn in the body of Christ, when trauma hits somebody, Deuteronomy tells us, with those who weep, weep. With those who rejoice, rejoice. This is what we need to continue to learn in community. This is a community, walking through life with one another, taking compassion, having love, care, and mercy, and grace, just like Jesus had for us. Have we forgotten about the mercy and grace?
Or where we were when we had situations, you know, such, as the scriptures say, such were some of you. It amazes me sometimes, you know, and that's why, you know, and I'll say that to people, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be in somebody's face all day long for people to know that you got their back and you love them. People think you got to be, you know, in order for you to be somebody's friend, in order for you to have, you have brothers and sisters in Christ that you love in ministry. When you're in ministry, and you done had some run-ins with death, and you know that God has squared you away, and certain things and experiences you've had in your life, when you do ministry, you go hard or go home. And some people don't understand that about me. And you, y'all seem like y'all the same way too. But in ministry, I'm going hard or going home. If I'm going to preach, then I'm going to preach. This might be the last time I get to preach. If I'm going to help somebody, well, then help them. If you're going to pray for somebody, well, then pray for somebody as if you were the one with the sickness. You were the one with the disease, because it could be anybody. But guess what? It's kind of funny. Since we are one body, when it happens to you, it did happen to me. When it happened to this one, it happened to me. I just wish people could take that mindset, and then maybe it would keep them in an environment where they were more apt to help. They were more apt to help people.
And listen, well, I've learned too that not everybody knows how to help. People want to help, but not everybody knows how to help. So sometimes the most help they can give is a phone call, a text message. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Do you need anything? You know, some folks, you know, their level of capacity of resource, of knowledge may be different. And that's okay. So assess your circle. Assess who can help you in what. And it's okay that everybody can't help you in every area. But at least try to help, you know, at least let's try to help each other.
Well, amen. Well, we're going to take a small break here. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. We've been speaking with the powerful woman of God, Yvette Bell from Yvette Bell Ministries. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Please invite a friend. Send this link to someone if you are enjoying the broadcast. We have another broadcast tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be interviewing Pastor Michael Brady. So check us out on Facebook. And again, you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast.
Because he is, not for the things that he's done, but because of who he is. That's why we worship him today, because he is God. We shouldn't be here today. Some of us should be dead and gone. Some of us should have AIDS. Some of us should be dying from disease. But God said, not so. He's done so much. When I can't think of what to say, I just want to say, God, I thank you, because he told Moses that when Pharaoh asked, who am I? He said, tell him, I am that I am sent you. Today we want to worship the I am in our lives today, simply because he is. Oh, it's a simple song and it says, because of who you are, I give you glory. Hey, because of who you are, I give you praise. Oh, because of who you are, everybody that sing this song to the Lord.
Because he is God, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yeah. Because of who you are.
Yes, yes. Yvette, well, we're at the end here, and I just have to apologize a little bit because that song was played. I was at a church that I belonged to. That was Bethesda Temple Church of Deliverance and the praise team, and I love that version of the song. I happen to still have it, but it just takes me in every time I hear it. I wanted to play a few minutes of it. I play it every time I get a chance because of who you are, but I kind of just slide in a little bit. That's actually a 15-minute song, because that day for worship, the Holy Spirit just dropped. But Yvette, I just want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for your patience. I know we went a little bit over the time that you wanted to be here, but I thank you for your patience. I thank you for coming on. And do you have any last words? Because I'm gonna give you the platform. Any last words that you have for us on today, and you can close us out in prayer if you would like.
Thank God for you, Prophet. Thank you for having me on. I heard the voice of the Lord say some time ago, as you start sharing your story, I'm going to get the glory out of your story. And I just want to say, this is one of the things God told me he would do, is begin to open up radio and platforms for that story to be told. I released a video on Facebook about a week ago about my hair shaving party, and most folks are really embarrassed about not having any hair, especially as women. We love our crown, right? But God told me that day, release it, because the more of your story you release, the more glory I can get. And that's really what I want to share with God's people to end this. In any traumatic situation, you do go through a period of time where you want to keep that story to yourself, because you don't know what God is going to do. It's something new to you. You might even feel embarrassed or disappointed or angry or upset. You might be confused about why it's happening to you. And in that particular part of your journey, you may want to keep it to yourself. But I will tell you, there will be a day, and I pray that this is the day, that you take courage to tell your story. I tell you, I went through 6 chemo treatments, 4 different chemo drugs during that particular time. And that started October 11th of 2019. But we began to take courage and pray. And I tell you, I didn't have courage every day. Let's be truthful in the middle of our situation, so that people can see us for real, see the spirit of truth, see what people go through, to fight to take courage, to fight to get to the place where we can proclaim, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and no tongue that rise against us in judgment will prosper. We shall condemn it, because this is our heritage in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going through a traumatic situation now, take courage, because God will heal. He is a healer. I love that song too that you play. Oh my God. We praise him just for who he is. He is healer. He is deliverer. He is soon coming king. He is balm in Gilead. And I tell you, after that first chemo treatment back in October 11, 2019, I had 2 lumps. I had stage 2 breast cancer. Both lumps were gone. God gave us a miracle. God is still in the miracle working business. He is still balm in Gilead. That's who he is. He is greater than anything that we will face here on this earth. If we begin to look eternity-wise, set your lens to eternity. Set your eyes to Jesus Christ. Set your ears to Holy Spirit. Set your heart to God, to the word of God, to the ways of God. Walk in him, and he will answer prayer. The answer may not look like what we want it to look like, because what he told me, he said, Yvette, I use modern medicine to heal my children. There's a lot of things that God is doing through doctors and physicians even now to heal his children. We are all his children. Whether we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior or not, we are children of the Most High God. It is his will that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it is his will that we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And that is the plea I put out today on this broadcast. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this day. And with him, he is finisher. He is finisher. He has a finisher's anointing. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And he will get in there and complete the assignment that is upon your life. He will complete the healing. He will deliver trauma. He will deliver us right in the middle of COVID. He will deliver us and keep us. He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. And not only in this world, but in the world to come on Judgment Day. And you will have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This time I've had people with me during this diagnosis, during my treatment. I'm still on one treatment and still, you know, taking different tests and things, and nothing is there. They're telling me no sign of cancer. Praise be unto God. My story, his glory. And that's all
right.
God wants is our story to be his glory, even if it's in the life ahead, right? So it's important for us to understand everything doesn't turn out according to our human thought pattern. But God will get the glory one way or the other. It will work out for you. So I offer you the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Come to know him yourself. Give him lordship over your life, every area of your life, and watch him turn some things around just for you. So first and foremost, Prophet, unless you have anything else, I would like to lead the people through the prayer of salvation and then just begin to pray.
The floor is
concerning
yours.
Trauma. Okay. Well, thank you, Lord, for this unique opportunity to be with my brother in Christ, to be with my sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ, all throughout the kingdom of God. And God, I thank you now that you brought us to a place where you're cleansing trauma, you're cleansing those situations, the residue of our past, the situations that are causing mental health issues, situations that are causing things to happen in our soul. We're questioning you. We're questioning your power. And the faith that we have is being strengthened in you as we receive you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now we receive you anew. We receive you afresh as our Lord in our heart, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We confess you to be the Son of the living God. We believe, Jesus, that you came to die for us, and you have risen from the dead. You are the Son of the living God, and we receive you in our heart. We receive you in our heart, and we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus. And just that simple, we call upon the name
thank
of Jesus,
God.
And we shall be saved.
Thank you,
we thank you, Jesus, today for our
thank
brothers
you, Jesus.
And sisters who have received you as their Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, come in and
thank
take
you, God.
Lordship over our lives, over every medical condition, over every economical situation. My God, from Zion,
thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Our families, our lineages, our heritage, God, over our thought patterns, over our hearts, our souls, in our marriages, in our parenthood, whenever our hands touch, take lordship over it. If we have entered into covenant with anything of the enemy, with any spirit of error, with anything, any idol that we've lifted up above the name of Jesus Christ, forgive us, Lord. We come out of covenant with it now. We break covenant, and we come into covenant with the word of God, with the testimony of Jesus Christ, with the gospel of Jesus, and the gospel of Jesus alone. We shall worship no other God and put no other God before you, not our church houses, not our own agendas, not our own finances, not our own opinions, but God, we break covenant with every word curse that has been spoken over us, every barking dog, silence their mouth now by the power of the Holy Spirit. spirit.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Children of the
yes,
living God.
God.
We only lend our ear gate to the spirit of the living
God.
Lord, let your spirit speak in our ear gate. Change the frequency of our ears, that the spiritual clutter that's been happening in the background be erased, so that we can hear clearly your voice, clearly your leading, clearly your guidance, clearly the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, that we be able to identify a false spirit that's in front of us. Even if it is operating in us, forgive us, God. Help us to see clearly. Break all spirit of error off of us. Let us operate in the spirit of truth. Let us see you clearly. And God, whatsoever we find to do, let us do it according to the word of God, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Cleanse the house, God. Cleanse the fivefold. Cleanse the community of believers so that we can stand up and be the church that you have called us to be in the earth realm, that we will be bold to speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, that we will be bold enough to lead people to salvation and to claim Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that we will be bold enough and continue in the ways of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that there would be signs, wonders, and miracles in the midst of us, that it will be our story, but it will all be for your glory. And since we say it's for your glory, we give you glory even now for the healings, for the deliverance, God, for the mind trauma that's breaking even now. God, Abba, Sheke Torondi, Torondi, Alobondi, depression that is breaking, oppression that is breaking, evil spirit possession that is breaking, even now in the mind and the heart and the lives of the believers everywhere. Break and destroy the yokes off of the people of God, that we might be free to plow this new harvest, this new territory. God, even in the midst of COVID, even on the other side, hallelujah, glory to God of this thing, let us be the resource for the earth realm that you have called us to be. You called us to birth, to plant, my God, Jesus, to harvest in the earth the things of God. And so, God, we say today, we make
Thank
a commitment to you anew, afresh, that we would be about our Father's business, about kingdom work.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your glory to God. We thank you now even for this podcast, and we ask that airwaves, God, you move every demonic force that tries to interrupt it. God, that you purify the airwaves now in Jesus' name, the heart of this broadcast, purify it, and you will always, always be rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank
be
you, God.
Rooted, my son, that cielo onda yeshete. Hallelujah, in the heart of God, in the mind of God for your people. And God, when you open doors this time, let it stick. Let it stick. Let it be consistent and perseverant in Jesus' name. This mandate, in the name of Jesus, let it reach who you want it to reach in season, out of season, God. Help us to have a word for the people of God in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that you always give resource to not only this, but all kingdom mandates here, there, everywhere, throughout the world. Thank you for the revival of souls that is occurring even now, even now. And God, help us to be the body of believers that offer compassion and care and the true love of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And with that, we are done with the show. Thank you guys for listening. Listen, Yvette, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for coming out. And until next time.
You've been listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, where I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in. Listen, find me on Facebook at Prophet Calvin D. Ward. Go to the YouTube channel, and don't forget to go to Amazon.com to buy my new book, Metaphysics and Theology, A Discussion. Y'all, don't forget to invite someone to the next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time.